Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. As I was reading the May 5th Daily Online News update from WXXI, I came across this article, Why Taste Buds Dull as We Age, by Natalie Jesuits. Well, I'd never thought about changes in the sense of taste as we age. Certainly, we're all aware of potential changes in sight and hearing. But what about the other senses, smell and touch? As it turns out, WXXI published, With No Sense of Smell, the World Can Be a Grayer, Scarier Place, in October of 2016. And in Keck Medicine's University of Southern California, August 2016's Aging Changes in the Senses and Aging Changes in Skin. And while hair isn't one of the senses, we're all aware that there is potential for many changes there as we age, and of course its relation to skin. Thus, the article, How Aging Affects Your Hair, from the Very Well website, published February 2nd of 2017. And we'll begin with Keck Medicine's August 22nd, 2016, As You Age, the Way Your Senses, Hearing, Vision, Taste, Smell, and Touch, Give You Information About the World Changes. Your senses become less sharp, and this can make it harder for you to notice details. Sensory changes can affect your lifestyle. You may have problems communicating, enjoying activities, and staying involved with people. Sensory changes can lead to isolation. Your senses receive information from your environment. This information can be in the form of sound, light, smells, tastes, and touch. Sensory information is converted into nerve signals that are carried to the brain. There, the signals are turned into meaningful sensations. A certain amount of stimulation is required before you become aware of a sensation. This minimum level of sensation is called the threshold. Aging raises this threshold. You need more stimulation to be aware of the sensation. Aging can affect all of the senses, but usually hearing and vision are most affected. Devices such as glasses and hearing aids or lifestyle changes can improve your ability to hear and to see. But now on to taste and smell. The senses of taste and smell work together. Most tastes are linked with odors. The sense of smell begins at the nerve endings high in the lining of the nose. Smell and taste play a role in food enjoyment and safety. A delicious meal or a pleasant aroma can improve social interaction and enjoyment of life. Smell and taste also allow you to detect danger, such as spoiled food, gases, and smoke. Your sense of smell can diminish, especially after age 70. This may be related to a loss of nerve endings and less mucus production in the nose. Mucus helps odors stay in the nose long enough to be detected by the nerve endings. It also helps clear odors from the nerve endings. Certain things can speed up the loss of taste and smell. Those include diseases, smoking, and exposure to harmful particles in the air. And going on now to WXXI News, October 10th, 2016, a portion of With No Sense of Smell, The World Can Be a Grayer, Scarier Place by Annette Heiss. People need olfactory receptor neurons to smell. These nerve cells come in direct contact with the air we breathe. They then pass from the upper part of the nose to the brain through a honeycomb-like structure called the cribriform plate. These neurons are going from the nose directly to the brain and connecting to the olfactory bulb. They're really the only nerves in the body that interact directly with the environment that way, says Beverly Cowart, a researcher at the Monell Chemical Senses Center in Philadelphia. Because of that, the neurons are vulnerable. Damage to the cribriform plate, say from a head injury, can crush or sever them. Things we inhale can also harm them. Their function is to detect chemicals, and chemicals can sometimes be toxic, Kowart said. They can also be damaged by viruses. Simple cold viruses will sometimes seem to attack those receptor neurons and cause a longer-term loss of smell due to damage to those neurons. Aging also plays a role, as the neurons dwindle over time. The replacement process isn't perfect, and it may also tend to slow down with age. So a very large portion of the population has some degree of smell loss in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, Cowart says. Smell loss might cause some older people to overseason food or lose interest in eating. And there's also evidence that smell loss may be an early indicator of Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases, as mentioned in a Silver Threads program some months ago. Actually, one of the first things that people notice whenever they have a smell problem is food doesn't taste right anymore, said Cowart. That's because eating and smell go hand in hand. How food tastes often relies on what we smell. When you lose your sense of smell, your whole sense of food flavor is distorted and diminished, Cowart says. You can still taste the basic tastes, which are sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami, or savory. What you're missing are the sort of subtle distinctions, the difference between strawberry and banana, between chocolate and vanilla. And now, WXXI News' Why Taste Buds Dull as We Age by Natalie J. Switz. Sometimes people develop strange eating habits as they age. For example, Amy Hunt, a stay-at-home mom in Austin, Texas, says her grandfather cultivated some unusual taste preferences in his 80s. I remember teasing him because he literally put ketchup or Tabasco sauce on everything, says Hunt. When we would tease him, he would shrug his shoulders and just say he liked it. But Hunt's father, a retired registered nurse, had a theory. Her grandfather liked strong flavors because of his old age and its effect on taste. When people think about growing older, they may worry about worsening vision and hearing, but they probably don't think to add taste and smell to the list. You lose all of your senses as you get older, except hopefully not your sense of humor, says Stephen Parnes, an ENT or otolaryngologist, ear, nose, and throat doctor, working in Albany, New York. To understand how aging changes taste, a pan to the young tongue might be appropriate. The average person is born with roughly 9,000 taste buds, according to Parnes. Each taste bud is a bundle of sensory cells, grouped together like the tightly clumped petals of a flower bud. The taste buds cover the tongue and send taste signals to the brain through nerves. Taste buds vary in their sensitivity to different kinds of tastes. Some will be especially good at sensing sweetness, while others will be especially attuned to bitter flavors, and so on. A taste bud is good at regenerating. Its cells replace themselves every 1 to 2 weeks. This penchant for regeneration is why one recovers the ability to taste only a few days after burning the tongue on a hot beverage, according to Parnes. Aging may change that ability. Though taste buds generally seem to be good at regenerating even with age, older taste buds are less adept at regenerating after injury. In addition, some kinds of medication can interfere with taste. Parnes says based on his clinical observations, the amount of loss varies from one individual to another. But women generally report losing taste in their 50s and men in their 60s. Parnes sympathizes with people with a dampened sense of taste because he's never had a sense of smell. This condition is called anosmia, and Parnes figured out he had it at 8 years old, when his friends would complain about odors that he couldn't detect in school. Sometimes people who come in complaining of a loss of taste are actually losing their sense of smell, Parnes says. While the tongue only detects a handful of flavors, the nose detects thousands of smells and is intimately related to the ability to detect tastes as we associate with certain foods. But loss of smell is also reported with aging. For people suffering from a loss of taste or smell, Parnes recommends seeing an ENT to be sure something treatable or dangerous isn't going on. Sometimes viruses or head trauma can result in cell degeneration or in nerves tearing. But in many cases, Parn says there's not a lot an aging gourmet can do except take nasal spray to stay decongested and seek out bold taste. Barnes enjoys spicy foods. I'll gravitate toward things that have a certain texture, too, said Parnes. I like filet mignon better than a sirloin, in part because of the texture. And if that fails? Well, dunking everything in ketchup and Tabasco would probably work, too. And we're going to go back now to Keck Medicine of the University of Southern California. Aging changes in skin. Wrinkles, aging changes, thinning of skin, aging changes in the skin are a group of common conditions and developments that occur as people grow older. Skin changes are among the most visible signs of aging. Evidence of increasing age includes wrinkles and sagging skin. Whitening or graying of the hair is another obvious sign of aging. Your skin does many things. It contains nerve receptors that allow you to feel touch, pain, and pressure, helps control fluid and electrolyte balance, helps control your body temperature, and protects you from the environment. Although skin has many layers, it can generally be divided into three main parts. The outer part, or epidermis, contains skin cells, pigment, and proteins. The middle part, dermis, contains blood vessels, nerves, hair follicles, and oil glands. The dermis provides nutrients to the epidermis. The inner layer under the dermis, the subcutaneous layer, contains sweat glands, some hair follicles, blood vessels, and fat. Each layer also contains connective tissue with collagen fibers to give support and elastin fibers to provide flexibility and strength. Skin changes are related to environmental factors, genetic makeup, nutrition, and other factors. The greatest single factor, though, is sun exposure. You can see this by comparing areas of your body that have regular sun exposure with areas that are protected from the sun. Natural pigments seem to provide some protection against sun-induced skin damage. Blue-eyed, fair-skinned people show more aging skin changes than people with darker or more heavily pigmented skin. With aging, the outer skin layer, epidermis, thins, even though the number of cell layers remains unchanged. The number of pigment-containing cells, melanocytes, decreases. The remaining melanocytes increase in size. Aging skin looks thinner, paler, and clear or translucent. Large pigmented spots, including age spots, liver spots, or lentigos, may appear in sun-exposed areas. Changes in the connective tissue reduce the skin's strength and elasticity. This is known as elastosis. It is more noticeable in sun-exposed areas, or solar elastosis. It produces the leathery, weather-beaten appearance common to farmers, sailors, and others who spend large amounts of time outdoors. The blood vessels of the dermis become more fragile. This leads to bruising, bleeding under the skin, often called senile purpura, cherry angiomas, and similar conditions. Sebaceous glands produce less oil as you age. Men experience a minimal decrease, most often after the age of 80. Women gradually produce less oil, beginning after menopause. This can make it harder to keep the skin moist, resulting in dryness and itchiness. The subcutaneous fat layer thins, so it has less insulation and padding. This increases your risk of skin injury and reduces your ability to maintain body temperature. Because you have less natural insulation, you can get hypothermia in cold weather. Some medicines are absorbed by the fat layer. Losing this layer changes the way these medicines work. And the sweat glands produce less sweat. This makes it harder to keep cool. Your risk for overheating or developing heat stroke increases. Growths such as skin tags, warts, rough patches, keratoses, and other blemishes are more common in older people. As you change and age, you are at increased risk for skin injury. Your skin is thinner, more fragile, and you lose the protective fat layer. You also may be less able to sense touch, pressure, vibration, heat, and cold. Rubbing or pulling on the skin can cause skin tears. Fragile blood vessels can break easily. Bruises, flat collections of blood, the purpura, and raised collections of blood, hematomas, may form after even a minor injury. Pressure ulcers can be caused by skin changes, loss of the fat layer, reduced activity, poor nutrition, and illness. Sores are most easily seen on the outside surface of the forearms, but they can occur anywhere on the body. Aging skin repairs itself more slowly than younger skin. Wound healing may be up to 4 times slower. This contributes to pressure ulcers and infections, diabetes, blood vessel changes, lowered immunity, and other factors also affect healing. Some common problems. Skin disorders are so common among older people that it's often hard to tell normal changes from those related to a disorder. More than 90% of all older people have some type of skin disorder. Skin disorders can be caused by many conditions, including blood vessel diseases such as arteriosclerosis, diabetes, heart disease and liver disease, nutritional deficiencies, obesity, reactions to medicines, and stress. Other causes of skin changes include allergies to plants and other substances, climate, clothing, exposure to industrial and household chemicals, and indoor heating. Sunlight can cause loss of elasticity, elastosis, non-cancerous skin growths, keratoconthemas, pigment changes as liver spots, and thickening of the skin. Sun exposure has also been directly linked to skin cancers, including basal cell cancer, squamous cell carcinoma, and melanoma. Because most skin changes are related to sun exposure, prevention is a lifelong process. Prevent sunburn if at all possible. Use a good quality sunscreen when outdoors, even in the winter. Wear protective clothing and a hat when needed. Good nutrition and adequate fluids are also helpful. Dehydration increases the risk of skin injury. Sometimes minor nutritional deficiencies can cause rashes or skin lesions and other skin changes, even if you have no other symptoms. Keep skin moist with lotions and other moisturizers. Do not use soaps that are heavily perfumed. Bath oils are not recommended because they can cause you to slip and fall. And moist skin is more comfortable and will heal more quickly. And now from Very Well, how aging affects your hair is all about location and texture by Sharon Besaraba and reviewed by a board-certified physician. If your hair has you feeling more like Rumpelstiltskin than Rapunzel these days, it may not be your imagination. Turning gray is just one of the many changes your hair goes through as you age. Changes in your hair's thickness, texture, and where it grows, too little in some places, too much in others, occur over time. Here's the science behind several common signs of hair aging and how you might fix them. About your hair, each strand of hair is made up of the strengthening protein keratin and is surrounded by an outer layer of overlapping sheets like roof shingles that make up the cuticle. The only living part of the hair exists inside the hair follicle in the epidermis and dermis, which contains some of the fastest growing cells in the body. The hair you can see is actually dead. Hair aging can be caused by microscopic, biochemical, or hormonal changes that affect the follicle or environmental factors that cause wear and tear on the hair itself. A single hair lives approximately 4 to 5 years. Given that hair grows an average of a little less than a half an inch a month, hair that's 12 inches in length has seen almost 3 years' worth of ultraviolet light, friction from brushing, heat from blow-drying, curling irons and flat irons, and chemical exposure through coloring, perming, and straightening. It's no wonder that hair wear and tear, or weathering, results. Cuticle cells become raised and softened, making the hair appear rougher and more prone to breakage. Over time, hair follicles themselves gradually produce thinner, smaller hairs or none at all. This is referred to as senescent alopecia, although it may be simply part of the natural aging process. What can you do? The anti-aging business is a multi-billion dollar industry. There are many products that claim to counteract the effects of aging on hair. They include humectants, which bind moisture to the cuticle, making it appear smoother, and hair conditioners that seal the cuticle. There are also products that provide hair with antioxidants and protect against UV light. Since hair is technically dead after it emerges from the follicle, these cosmetic fixes tend to work by modifying the appearance of each strand rather than changing the structure. In addition to incorporating the use of some of the aforementioned products, you should also avoid excessive use of heat on your hair. Limit the use of hot tools like curling irons and flat irons. When blow drying, keep the dryer at least 6 to 12 inches from your head. How hair turns gray. The exact process of going gray is not well understood, although it is known that hair turns gray when melanin, the pigment that gives our hair and skin color, stops being produced. Generally, the lighter your skin, the sooner your hair will turn gray. Caucasians typically start turning to gray in their early 30s. It often occurs 10 years later for those with darker skin. The onset of graying hair is largely determined by genetics. As dermatology researcher Ralph Troob writes in his paper, The Aging of Hair, by 50 years of age, 50% of people have 50% gray hair, regardless of sex and initial hair color. Body hair, eyebrows, pubic and chest hair usually grays much later than hair on the scalp. One theory chalks up the cause of graying to oxidative stress, one of the major theories of aging. Oxidative stress is a condition that occurs when an excess of free radicals are produced as new hairs are formed, which subsequently damages the pigment creating cellular structures within the follicle. This process may also explain why many people notice that their hair becomes coarser and tougher to manage as it grays, since the cells that create melanin are closely connected to the ones that build the keratin hair shaft. What can you do? Well, if letting your hair go au naturel doesn't appeal to you, you have a variety of coloring options. Reverse highlighting puts streaks of darker color back into gray hair. Permanent dyes work by creating colored molecules within the hair shaft and can withstand repeated washing. Semi-permanent colors can last between 6 and 10 shampoos, as they are made up of small molecules that penetrate the hair cuticle. If you're serious about coloring your hair, there needs to be some element of permanence. Temporary tints look nice at first, but they're not absorbed by the cuticle and are easily washed out. Thinning hair and baldness. For many men, whether hair loss is known by its scientific name, androgenic alopecia, or simply as male pattern baldness, it's unwelcome news. Typically, hair is first lost at the top of the head or at the temples. By age 60, two-thirds of males have significant hair loss. It's believed that men who lose their hair have hair follicles that are predisposed to produce smaller and less visible vellus hair over time as a result of hormonal changes. Smoking may also play a role in male pattern baldness. Women may experience female pattern baldness as they age, resulting in thinning hair and a visible scalp. It may be due to genetics, shifting levels in male hormones or androgens, vitamin deficiencies, or certain health conditions. What can you do? Currently, there is no cure for baldness. Some treatments aim to stimulate the growth of new, more visible hair and include topical minoxidil, or Rogaine, and finasteride, which is taken orally. For women, the only treatment approved by the FDA is minoxidil. A hair transplant involves grafting tiny segments or plugs of healthy scalp from thicker patches of hair to the balding area. It's an expensive solution that requires many treatments, but the results are permanent. Too much hair. On the other hand of this end of the spectrum, too much hair is the issue. Hirsutismus, a condition in which hair starts to appear on a woman's body in areas that are associated with male body hair, the face, neck, chest, thighs, and back, it is caused by genetics, aging, and certain medications. Though hirsutism is often a harmless condition, it can be embarrassing for women, and in rare cases, it's a sign of a tumor in the adrenal gland or ovary. What can you do? Well, if temporary solutions like tweezing, waxing, depilatories aren't working for you, see your doctor. More involved hair removal techniques include laser therapy and electrolysis. Well, I think one of the main takeaways from that would be, for me, being vigilant about using sunscreen whenever you are outside. Having had several basal and squamous cell carcinomas excised in the last 2 years, I am a fervent believer in sun protection at all times. I will also share with you this suggestion from my dermatologist. Taking vitamin C supplements has made a significant difference in the number of skin tears that I have experienced. And as far as smell and taste are concerned, I can tell you right now that I am very glad that I can still easily differentiate between vanilla and chocolate, especially in ice cream. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.